The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
To raise awareness for World Creativity and Innovation Day, I have in studio with me Miss Jamie Philbutt. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. A little crisscross, but
that's all right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And we're talking about the Kalinda Conversations, yes?
Yes, ma'am.
And tell me about Kalinda Conversations. What does it mean and how are you a part of it?
So I am the pointer of Bois Academy of Trinidad and Tobago. The founder is Rondell Benjamin. And basically we do work to bring awareness around Kalinda, which is our national martial art, which we don't necessarily look at as a martial art in our space. So we better know it as stick fighting.
Yeah. Ah,
so
okay.
Right. I am a woman stick fighter or a Bois woman. Mm-hmm. And not by any ways pretend. Yeah, I actually play in Igael. But not just looking at it from a standpoint of playing Kalinda. One of the things that we, I don't want to say neglect, I think some of us don't know that mm-hmm. Kalinda is a way of life like many other martial traditions around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this Kalinda Conversations is an action and awareness initiative mm-hmm. that we are putting out to the public to try to bridge the gap between practitioners and society so we can bring back a sense of understanding what our martial tradition is, bringing back to the space a sense of critical thinking about what this could be mm-hmm. for the Caribbean. And what it has meant historically from a cultural context as well.
But to just touch on historical positioning with martial arts in terms of the African traditions, we are more familiar with the Chinese, Japanese version, karate and taekwondo,
wuchang,
mm-hmm. right, samurais and all of that. Because I don't know what if we want to use the word glamorized, but it was brought to the main attention because of Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the African...
We grew up on kick-ups. Yeah. We grew up, you know, Saturday mornings for me was wrestling,
yes.
a kick-up movie.
Yeah.
Still right now, my father's passed away now, but my father used to, like, dub... Melissa,
she's here. Don't worry. After much searching, we found her.
My father used to dub CDs and DVDs, but mm-hmm. still right now I have like tons. I have a huge Kung Fu collection in mm-hmm. my house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we grew up watching it, right? So
yeah.
there was no beyond the black man that we saw. I can't think of his name right now. I think something Kelly is his name.
He had a very mean face.
And a afro. But he was fine. He was tall.
Actually,
he was statuesque.
Oh gosh, this basketballer was in a martial arts movie with Bruce Lee.
That's what I'm talking about. Himself.
Oh gosh, is it Berkeley Boy?
I can't think of his name. I think it's something Kelly is his name. But in any event.
Enter the Dragon is the name
of
the movie.
That one, yeah. right? So him and his fine self, we saw him growing mm-hmm. up. And we may have seen like one or two other ones. Michael Jai White mm-hmm. is another martial artist that we would have seen that's black, right?
Wow.
Yes, Ooh. Him and his wife are fine. They're mm-hmm. just both beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. But we didn't know growing up that we had martial arts. If you knew, you knew.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fortunate if you knew. But I know for sure I did not know, you know? And mm-hmm. I was a real tomboy. I like fighting. And not fighting for the sake of fighting, but like I would play fight with my father.
It was something like exercise.
Not just exercise, yeah. I grew up with a really loving father. Like, mm-hmm. and we would play, you know? So sports day, he used to work for the Red House. So sports day idea. I run in track, I doing everything. Mm-hmm. And we used to play fight in the house. I don't know if you grew up like this, Tuska, but pillow fighting, mm-hmm. all them rough kind of thing, headbutting, mm-hmm. we used to do those. Those things are actually embedded in our African martial arts systems, mm-hmm. right?
Copiera is the
Capoeira
mm-hmm. pronunciation, but we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
But that was the closest, I think, practice that we were exposed to, because seeing that Brazil was so close to it. It's interesting to see or realize that type of form was very connected in African history.
It's,
you know,
it's the child of our stick fighting.
Right.
So not realizing. So A lot of our histories tell us that Kalinda came from West Africa. So what I'm realizing lately inside of the scholarship is that they kind of grouped all of West Central Africa and West Africa into one by calling it West Africa. And that happened a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would group people by calling them all Congos, mm-hmm. right? Or all Yorubas or all this, because they didn't care. They weren't thinking about our identity in that mm-hmm. way.
And didn't realize how different each one was in its own right.
And that is a beautiful point that you're bringing up, because what we've done now in this space, because of a certain level of desperation to find ourselves, we pick one African spirituality. We pick one because we're like, okay, we found something. I'm latching onto that, and that's what I'm doing. But I want us to know that we have more, you know, mm-hmm. and it's up to us to kind of find it. It's indicative in the plants inside of our space. The plants are, there's a plant called the river cane, and it grows in a spiral. That particular plant is a Congo plant, and it was only planted by Congo royalty. And it's all over Charlottesville and Tobago. It's anywhere like where there's like swampy area. It's in Moruga. I've seen it some other places, like on the roadside as well too. And it was specifically planted to let people know, like, this is Congo royalty here. In West Central Africa, there are two forms that I know of from pre-colonial times. There's Kandeka, and there is Ngolo. Ngolo kind of looks like capoeira, right? It has a similar feel to it. Kandeka looks like our stick fighting, right?
Okay.
So there's a lot of headbutting, a lot of slap boxing, and the people that were invested in these forms, they were actually pastoral people. So they lived countryside. They dealt with animals. They had sticks. So these sticks were not just for stick fighting. These sticks were for herding the animals and managing the animals. And what they would do also is to keep the animals together, and also, I guess, as a part of their training, they would fight with the animals. So they would take the bull and headbutt the bull.
Intimidation. Who is the alpha kind of thing?
Because I'm the shepherd, right?
Right.
So I'm leading you. I need you to make sure you're following me. So that kind of thing, like if a human being is going to headbutt me, like I better listen to this person kind of thing, right? So our forms, Kalinda did not just exist in our space in Trinidad. It was in Grenada. It's in Barbados as stick licking. It's in Guadeloupe as Guoka and Mayole. It's in Martinique as something called Laja. Some of these forms, you'll see it without a weapon, without the stick. So it's like open hand, like the capoeira, right? So you're still seeing the same thing, isn't it? Because we haven't really invested in looking at what the form entails, because what we see it as is a bus head thing, is a rum shot.
It's a dangerous thing.
It's a dangerous thing. I don't want a bus, so I'm not going near that. But there's also those who have grown up inside of it and understand it in a completely different way, right? That that stick can happen without a stick in your hand.
Yeah, and to me, the look of it has changed more into a form of dance. Rather than of, you know, fighting or even self-defense. More so, I see it as a form of discipline. Because for you to be a part of that, you have to have a sort of discipline. Any kind of martial arts.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand at some point your body can become a weapon. And you have to be able to control it.
Yeah.
You know?
That your body is a temple and it is a weapon. And you're absolutely right. And it's not that it changed into a dance. All African martial forms, dance is a main element of it. Music is a main element of it. These are things that, you know, are so unique for our martial arts system. We actually have more, you know, than some of the other martial arts forms. But because, again, it's not something that is promoted in a particular way, and we misunderstand it, right? Because we think it's just a stick. So what has happened inside of the space is turned into a folk form. Right? And by doing that, there's a certain level of diminishment that happens, because now we think that, oh, we have to have it in these things because we want to preserve it. And what I want people to understand is preservation of the form is already happening in the bodies of the people that practice it.
Yeah, and because it becomes part of your DNA, part of your life.
It's an embodied thing, right? And if we miss the opportunity to speak to people who are practitioners, and if we miss the opportunity to see that they actually have an insurmountable amount of knowledge about this thing, even if you feel like they can't articulate it the way that you might articulate something, there's a level of intelligence that you will never be able to have because of what they know in terms of the practice and even the way that they theorized it. Again, this is not language that they would necessarily use, right? But I know that from sitting with fellow stick fighters and having conversations about lavways, which are the call and response songs that we sing in Kalinda, And then being able to break down the meaning of it. Because inside of a guile, I step inside of a guile, I could die, right? I go in with that knowledge that I could die in this moment. And that's, again, not every martial arts will you necessarily die, right? Always is rot inside of death. Like, you wouldn't walk in there knowing that you're going to die. And I position it to life all the time. Every morning you wake up, you could dead. You could go to sleep and you could dead, right? How are you intending to live? So when I step into the guile, I'm thinking about how it is that I'm going to live in this moment. How is it I'm going to respect the person across from me? I want to make myself more competent. I want to make that person more competent. I'm actually not trying to kill that person, right? So the discipline goes, it's rooted pretty far because it's your mind, it's your heart, it's your spirit.
It's the intention as well.
And your intention. And the intention is sought in such a way that I have to be able to read the guile. So Kalinda, or stick fighting, for people who better know it that way. And I don't say stick fighting because Kalinda explains the entire complex. It's the martial dancing. It's the drumming patterns. Or I call them the cardio rhythm patterns, right? It's the call and response chants, which to me are like prayers or proverbs, right? Because they're speaking something. So
they're telling a story.
Telling a story. And not just telling a story, but sometimes we think that the lavas in our space are, they're these songs of old and they're just made up and they belong to all of us. There's a part of me that wants to say yes because it's a part of our culture. And then I also want to say no. Some of these songs are personal songs that are naming people inside of the community, that are valorizing people in the community, that are telling stories, not just about the community, but from them sitting and watching the Ethiopian War, from them sitting and watching a scene that happened with Norway and China, from them sitting and watching Dr. Williams in office, from watching Fidel Castro. There are live ways about all of these sorts of things.
It's a form of oral history.
It's an oral history, it's an oral tradition, and it's documenting our history. And if we miss that and miss the fact that, the bodies that created this or that has been passed down to are still alive, they're still here. They're not a memory in the space. They're not just set inside of one part of our history, but we still have a very rich tradition in Kalinda. We are probably one of the only spaces that contains Kalinda that has the entire complex. So in other spaces, they might have kept the stick fighting, but they lost the dance. Other places, they might have lost the music. You know, so I think that we miss how much we actually have in our cultural form and where it's valued. So Kalinda Conversations is pulling that back and bringing it to this space of a culturally relevant education, teaching people how Kalinda has made language. So we just walk around saying, walk on them. We just walk saying, boah, right? Thinking to ourselves, well, yeah, we made that as part of our culture. But no, it came from this
something
thing.
Something, and the significance of it, because somebody who knows the real meaning of it here, and you say it, just might be a challenge or a form of insult. You have to be very careful.
If I see you with a stick in your hand, your boah, that means you're ready to fight. So like, we stick fight, you know, will be the notion. In the 1800s and probably before that as well too, they had Kalinda bands that would play carnival time. And I say play very lightly because they were not playing mass. They were out with their bands, they had their music and they're singing their lavas and they were going to display their martial art. There were people that would masquerade as Kalinda people. And if they met them on the road, they would beat them out of their clothes and send them home. Like, this is not something to play with. There's not no joking thing. You know?
This is so interesting. I'm enjoying this conversation, I have to say.
That's good.
Because I'm picturing it as well, you know? If it is that you want to understand a culture and you want to pass on the tradition, you have to be able to respect the different elements of it.
That's the first part. And if our spaces want to be able to innovate, and that's from government, that's to university, that's from our artistic spaces, if we want to be able to innovate and just be able to use, because that's what we're doing, right? We have to be careful not to misuse. And in order to do that, we have to respect the tradition, right? In order to respect the tradition, you have to invest in learning the tradition. And that is beyond what you read inside of a book, because unfortunately, all of our history books are not written by us. And even the ones that are written by us come from us reading these other books that were written by the colonizers. And that is not to dismiss their descriptions, because the descriptions help us to critically think about what this could be, because it still exists. We can still see it inside of our space
from their perspective, what they were seeing at that point in time.
Because even if you describe something that you see outside to me, I can dig underneath that and find these subtexts inside of it. Because I know myself and I know my people. Yeah. We have this thing that we say, and I said it recently on a talk that we did at UWE last week, that we have a narrative that we were fighting for carnival. I don't believe that.
It's not for carnival, but the right to be free.
We were fighting to keep our freedom. I don't believe everybody believed that they were a slave. And it's evident inside of our space. We Trinidadians are the most unruly people ever. Right?
Yeah, we had to govern.
Yeah, you're not going to just get us to do something just so, you know?
Yeah.
And there is a rebellious nature that sits inside of Kalinda. And it's not just rebellious for the sake of rebellion. It is set inside of freedom. Kalinda people, at least the Sikh fighters that I know, and knowing myself as well, you are not going to just get me to do something just for the sake of doing it. There's no money that could convince me to do it. There's no bribe you could give me. There's nothing, right? And that kind of person is a dangerous person if you have a space where they're trying to control you, right? And you're going to want to beat them into submission at some point. And now you have a problem because them could fight. Right? So it becomes complicated, right? So I have a theory, you know, because that's been pushed down since it got here, right? Which I believe, like, I think it was here before the 18th century because there's evidence of it. But when the Haitian Revolution happened in 1791, and word got to the other British colonies that were wrong, those people were looking around like, oh, we cannot free these people. They're cutting off white people's head. They're maiming and killing us.
Create a chain reaction all through the colonies that would not benefit those who were reaping the rewards from
Haiti
it.
Haiti got free.
Yeah.
Right?
Haiti started it.
Yeah, and Haiti was very clear that we were not going to go back to being slaves. So we tell them, no, if it is like coming back around us with this whole slavery thing, we're going to either you go into debt or I go into debt. They were willing
and
to die.
Up to this day, at this very moment in time, Haiti is still paying the price for that stance.
For the rebellion.
And the way in which the education has been brought forward since those times to younger people to understand why they as a people continue to rebel, as you just said, is because that information is not readily available, or is it taught? Because that sense of independence, or not so much, as you said, rebellion, not for rebellion's sake,
right,
but that holding on to freedom.
Yeah, I'm keeping my freedom.
Yeah, that's where their positioning is right now. Even if it's not spoken, it is portrayed in the way that they have decided to make a stand in their country. Going back to the conversations of Kalinda, how does the schools, you said that you did a speech or a conference.
We
at
had
the,
a panel
at the University of the West Indies. How do they approach the recording of this information, the recognition and appreciation of the, I would say it's an art form as it stands today? How has that progress been going?
I cannot speak for how the University of the West Indies, because I'm not a member of that space. So I can't speak, and I'm trying to do better about saying what I think something is. I know for Bois Academy, we have a large archive of music. We have a large archive of interviews with elder stick fighters and other eyewitnesses to stick fighting. We have collaborations throughout the world with Bayesian stick lickers, with Colombian Escrima machete players. We have some brothers and sisters in South Africa who do Zulu stick fighting and capoeira there as well too. Another style called Piper, which is a killing system. It is not meant to be a martial art. It's just to learn how to kill people, right?
That's a different conversation. Trinidad and Tobago?
Different conversation.
Different space.
and I think that, you know, because there's so much violence going on in the country right now, and it's hard to have a conversation about something that is not solely violent. Our societies, not just Trinidad and Tobago, anywhere where black people have lived, it's wrought, it's built on violence, right? So that building on violence, I am not saying for anybody to just wildly go out and start killing people and doing all that. Is not what I'm saying. But in order for the young men that and women that we seem to have a problem with and that we want to call monsters and all these other things, they're not, because they didn't make themselves that way. That's the first thing. There's nothing set in our space to give them discipline. If we have a whole martial art, I am sure that if I am learning this martial arts and I understand what honor is, I understand what discipline is, I will not just go around maiming and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
I will understand that there's a community that I have.
These things are bred in that very discipline. If you look at the samurais, for example, you know, they're
who... We batter in the samurais, huh?
I'm thinking of something that they could relate to. Unfortunately, like you said in the beginning, the images of Kalinda and African martial arts is not really prevalent. But if it is that you stick into something that they obviously knew, right? The discipline of getting up in the morning, making sure that your uniform is clean or well taken care of.
But that they know.
The sword and...
Maybe not this generation, but we do know it. And Kalinda is so embedded inside of our space that we don't even realize that we're seeing it. Yeah.
So what's some of the examples of that ritual then you could tell me about?
So I was giving you one earlier. If you've ever pillow fight before,
mm-hmm.
you were in the midst of Kalinda. There's a way that you pillow fight,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe we need to have an adult pillow fight so we can understand that, right? When children are doing any footwork, cricket is an example of Kalinda, yeah? So all these things that we don't realize, extempo, singing calypso, call and response, all the little ring games that we play, brongyul in a ring, which brongyul in a ring is actually a bongo song. It's a song they used to sing at funerals.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. And it's just for reference, people who may not, who may need a reference. It is inside of J.D. Elder's work on music in our space. Mm-hmm. It's in his PhD, right? He's documented all of these songs from Calypso. He breaks down Calypso into two different parts. Kalindas, Carisos, our work songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, all of them are work songs. Work songs meaning that when people would work in the fields or even they're singing.
Yeah.
Even if we think about if we're cleaning your house and you start to sing, mm-hmm. right? You might be outside mm-hmm. in the yard and you just start to hum a tune or something like that.
Because it makes the work go faster, you distract yourself a little bit.
And it's not just it's a meditation, mm-hmm. if you think about it, mm-hmm. you know? These small chores, and again, we've come away in some spaces, and I feel like more so on this side, when I go south, the children are still playing outside. Yeah, they're still doing the things that we used to do.
Climbing trees. And
yeah, climbing, exactly. Kalinda,
mm-hmm.
right? Understanding our connection to nature, understanding that the trees are alive, that without the trees, I can't breathe. You know, those are Kalinda musings.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that still exist inside of space. Picking up sticks. If you look at children, they're very attracted to sticks. They'll pick up a random...
You remember the game Pick Up Sticks?
I do.
So I guess that would be part of it as well.
Yep. So it's embedded in our space. And again, we like to say this thing where Kalinda influenced Calypso. I disagree. It generated it.
Mm.
It absolutely made it. The identity of the stick fighter is embedded inside of it. We talk about war in Calypso. And a lot of the older Calypsonians, when they dress, the way that they dress, Kalinda people, this is a new narrative in the space about how Kalinda people dress. I don't know Kalinda people to be dirty.
Mm-hmm.
They doesn't come outside any old way. They were very concerned about their appearance. And one of my reasonings, for me at least, because I'm the same way, one of my reasons is, if I go into step outside again with a Kalinda mindset of, I might die today, I want to look nice. Or they will not have me in the paper or on the TV. I want to look nice.
That reminds me of something that my grandmother, who is an island girl, she born Vincentian. She used to say,
"My mommy's from St. Vincent." Go ahead.
Make sure that your underclothes clean.
That is it.
Yeah.
We were told.
Do not ever step out because you never know what could happen to you, and you don't want the doctor to.
That is exactly what my mother used to tell us growing up.
I mean, she used to say it a little harsher. I had to radio edit.
No, that's okay.
But
that's all right. Sometimes we have to edit them a little bit, but sometimes it's nice when you just give it to just the way
as
they give it to us.
Yeah.
But that is how I grew up. So to this day, there are certain things that I cannot do. Mm. If I clean in and I know it's not real clean, I just have to say, Jimmy, you know, it's a surface clean, right? And you have to go back and start to move the furniture and you take down the curtain. Like, there's a way that they conducted themselves.
Mm.
And I don't think it's only Kalinda that has influenced that, but I do think there's a deep sense of African living, right? And when I look into the Congo people in particular, and again, I don't think it's just Congo people, but when I look into them particularly, had a way about them.
Mm-hmm.
They also had a way about looking at things like obia, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't call it obia, right? Wanga would have been their word. And wanga is not necessarily obia, but it's also a way of living from the way that I cook my food, what ingredients I put in. They're not measuring nothing. You can't call and ask.
Yes, let the ancestors move you, my darling.
That is it. That is it. You know what I mean? And we didn't realize that's what was happening, but I think that they did, you know.
And it was passed on to us by observation, unknowingly. And it is made the culture the way that it is and our practices. You know, this is a very interesting take on bois. I understood that there was some African influence in it, but to go as deep as, you know, where Calypso came from, the answer and call, the movements, it's all part of the culture that was brought over the seas. Unfortunately, we do lump everything together, but from Africa, and the distinction needs to be made, slowly but surely.
And I wanna give a little bit more reference, because again, the space is having a hard time because the space has been taught a particular thing about where Kalinda's come from, where Carnival has come from, or where Calypso has come from. If we look into Kalinda's, Calendas, D-A-S, across the diaspora, they were rituals that were performed. So the stick has, I don't think transform, it has multiple uses, right? One of the uses is that it's a divination rod, right? And if you think about a stick and all the things a stick can be used for, it can use to stop someone, it can use to fight someone, you could beat somebody with it, you could use it as a walking stick, you could use it to guide, you can use it to when you go in any bush to make sure you're not no snakes on the ground, you can use it to guide, right? If you were blind, you would use it to guide your way, right? In a certain kind of so I think that we are just very on a simple level not thinking about what this thing is and how the stick might be used in the guile, right? It's a warding of energy thing. Yeah, so back in the day, there were these rituals that happened in a circle. There were fire rituals, right? And calendas is what they were called, right? And inside of understanding that, they were also connected to Congo people specifically. Now, I would say Congo and Angola. I try to generalize because we're still looking into a lot of the research and say West Central Africa, but I can pinpoint Congo people, Angola people. Now, I say Congo because the majority of people that came through Haiti were Congo people. A population happened who came through here. And it wasn't just Haiti, it was Martinique, it was Guadeloupe. When you look at the forms in that space, Congo people. Our Trinidad Creole or Patois, a lot of the words we're finding that they were West Central African words. Yeah, so Dingole is a word that we know, which means to agitate the waste.
Santimanite
right. is a Kalinda word, right? So all of these words are Congo words, and we can trace that Kalalu, that's a Congo word. So how do all these words end up here and stay inside of our space and end up inside of our patois? There might be traces, and I'm sure there's traces of other languages in there, because Africa does not have one language. We are not a monolith. African people are not, right? Which is why we get all these beautiful shades and hair types and all this stuff.
The thing is, if we'd really start to delve into how influenced we are by African culture, we would begin to I think we'd be overwhelmed, and
I think we are overwhelmed.
the importance that is placed on other things seem to diminish, you know.
What other things, Saskia? I want to tell you what the other things are. We have been injected with colonization, so we are very concerned,
and a kind of an answering to somebody who seems to be operating or controlling everything.
And we've also forgotten that if I do this thing, you don't have to do the same, because you have your work to do too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? And if you don't do your work, we're not going to finish this puzzle piece.
Everybody has their role to play.
And so we have adapted. We are a society where if this one is doing well in something, I'm going to copy that thing. And I'm going to rally the people around us so this way I can erase you in a certain kind of way. And I can give you multiple examples in my own life, but we don't have to look at my life. We can just look at the space, because everybody knows Trinidad and Trinidadians and Trinbegonians. Yeah, I feel like Tobago has a different thing going on.
Oh yeah, Trinidad. Tobago is a different melting pot altogether.
Yeah. You know, so I'm specifically speaking about Trinidad and what is happening in our space. And I'm speaking about Trinidad because I feel like we are the larger space,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we do may not influence Tobago in a certain way, but it's still
influences
yeah. the space.
I have to say this, discussions like these, when you start to explore how deep and in some cases how misunderstood the narrative has been, people tend to get a little afraid.
They get afraid.
They yeah. tend to say, well, okay, we're not going to talk about that. Oh, God,
it's too deep.
It's
too much.
All of this blackness, all of this.
And it's not just the blackness, because even the ones that are into the blackness in the space, they are having a problem, at least from what I've been questioning
mm-hmm.
and what I'm seeing. I feel like people are having an issue with new information. I've also heard that, you know, it's the approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say no, but I want to put something on the table for whoever is listening. If I am not passionate about our people and about making sure that we put, and that's not my job alone,
mm-hmm.
but making sure that our ancestors are honored in a particular way. One of the things that has happened in this space is I'm very particular about naming people. Right? Not just citation from a scholarship, please. Naming people. You post people in the paper with a name.
Mm-hmm.
Because these papers go into an archive,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Truth telling is not our strongest suit, right? So you will sit and you will be sitting next to someone where you know you didn't do something and saying that you did something that you didn't do, right? Or you'll create an image, because media is important. You'll create an entire image around yourself to make it look like you are something that you are not.
Mm.
Right? Or you will do something in the space that's connected to another thing and then say, well, yes, I is this thing, knowing damn well
that you have no
bones, you have mm-hmm. no skin inside mm-hmm. of this thing, and would never dare, you know. I want people to be able to say, yes, I want to appreciate Kalinda and all of our other forms of African descent. I want them to also understand that there is a deep, deep dive that you have to take into it. And even if you feel afraid, even if you feel like, you know what, I'm not sure if I want to deal with this person or that person, you're not thinking about none of that. Your commitment is to try to find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your commitment is to work on that thing. And it's going to be hard. Our ancestors had way more to deal with. And I find us fragile. And our fragility is killing us. And it's not only going to kill us, it's going to kill our future.
Yeah, because we need to pass on the information.
What information will we pass on?
Yeah.
The truth, or will we do what the colonizers did to us? So this is my problem. My problem is, what are we really doing? Are we actually doing our work?
Mm-hmm.
Your work is on the radio. You're giving me an opportunity to speak today, right? Which I'm grateful for,
mm-hmm.
right? And in this exchange, we're both learning.
Yes.
And if we could go about the day like that, imagine what
giving each person a space to at least venture into that that is part of themselves, their culture, their
yeah.
their identity, because that's what I wanted to get to as well, that you have to be able to, as you say, venture into that space that is fearful or scary,
yeah,
at the same time.
Go with the fear.
But the thing is, from that fear, you get an understanding of each person, their intention, their identity, and as you said, prepare something or prepare a platform for the younger ones who are just as interested in this, be it whatever religion mm-hmm. Group you belong to. Get that information so that they can decide for themselves later on, okay, this is what I stand for, this is what I believe.
And beyond that, our children are suffering because of a lack of identity and being able to
have direction.
And direction. But yeah. if it is that I'm a mother or I'm a school teacher or whatever, I'm a person who's in charge of a child,
mm-hmm.
and if I myself am not clear on my identity, we have a problem, right?
Yeah. How are we going to pass it on to the younger ones?
Because children are real simple. They watch us and they imitate what mm-hmm. we do. They're really, really simple. You know, I had a camp a couple of years back, and I usually wrap my hair. And at the end of the camp, all the children were wrapping their hair. And I laughed, right? Because that's how simple they are.
Mm-hmm.
They see something and they'll just start to imitate it. So imagine if we, the adults in the space,
it's all about
each other with respect.
The thing is that they don't realize how much they copy us until, you know, they like to say, oh, God, that's a mini me.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way I think they get it from,
yeah.
by observation and repeating what is said, what is done. And
unconsciously the habits that they've been exposed to over and over again.
I want to share that fear is a brain-body thing, right? It's a neurosomatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something in your brain called an amygdala, and the amygdala gets triggered. And when the amygdala is triggered, then you go into what we know as flight.
Or fight.
And what I want people to understand is that you can regulate that by your breathing. Like, and I'm talking about just on a basic level. This is not just for stick fighting and Kalinda talk. On a basic level, breathe. Stop yourself, pause. There's nothing that you have to do right now but regulate your system, because if your system is not regulated, you cannot go forward.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that in Kalinda? We chant a lavwe, because singing is breathing, right? So I chant Malawi. Malawi is now telling me what to do, because again, it's my prayer and it's my proverb. Yeah. So take your time and sing the melody. Man to man, I go play anybody, right? Trinidadian tiger, walk on them. You know, as King Anthony by Neil says, my spirit from Africa, I don't afraid nobody. I don't afraid no pressure.
Mm. Yeah.
And affirmation, those are also affirmations, right? Even if you didn't believe it, when you start to sing that, you're going to believe it.
There's something inside of you that will connect, no matter how deep, you know.
So
this has been interesting.
Yeah, there's formulas to cure fear, right? Mm-hmm. And you could go into something nervous. You know, interviews have been very interesting for me, right? And the last three interviews, including this one that I've had, I felt less nervous. Why I felt less nervous? Not because I'm just getting, I'm getting better at interviewing. It's because I'm regulating my system,
mm-hmm.
right? And also preparedness. You're going to feel fearful about something if you don't prepare, right? And if you don't give discipline to yourself. Mm-hmm. How do we prepare for something? Okay, if my mind needs to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, let me do a little bit of squats because I want my bouncy to look better, right? So I have to do my little 50 squats in the morning, right? Let me move my waist a little bit, like a little whine, right? Because whining is something that, again, for me, I understand it from a Congo space and their cosmogram that they have, that it's a life cycle. Mm-hmm. It's a procreation space, right? It's a space where I create life, not just when I am intimate with someone, but when I'm with myself. That is how I'm creating life in my body. And anybody who's ever whined before know it's true. There's this joy that you get internally when you feel that.
But they think that is the most salacious, disrespectful dance ever.
I don't understand why they feel that way, because if you ever had children, you were salacious and disrespectful at one point.
It could be found in all kind of dance, the salsa, merengue,
no movement is just movement.
Yeah.
Every movement is a gesture towards something. And it's from somewhere, yeah? All the white people have their waltzes and all that type of stuff. And
restrained.
We took the people in them waltz, right? And made belly air.
Yes.
And all
these beautiful dances.
Everything that they gave to us, we made it better.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far when people go into history. Like, literally everything. You give us a song, we will kill it. We will start to extempore your song. We go add a little beat to it. It's life. We are people that imbue life into things.
Jazz, for example. You know,
jazz, blues, house music, hip hop music. You know, we are people that bring life. And if we remember that and go, okay, if I'm a person that brings life, where did I get this from? Who did this come from? What else exists in the space? When they talk about our ancestors being illiterate, it's not true. They kidnapped us from our space, brought us to another space, and then told me I'm illiterate. Of course I'm not going to know what's going on
here. I have no idea what this space is.
And it's not just me. If I illiterate, then you're illiterate too, because I have about 15, 20 languages under my belt. How much you have? One, two? You know? So, you know, and having that kind of audaciousness about who we are, you know, as a people. But again, it's hard to do that. Back to the fear thing. If I am fearful. But again, I'm fearful. Prepare myself.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe in the morning. Stand up. Walk in the mirror. Say your affirmations in the mirror. Right? Today is mine. I'm a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I am my best self.
Change the narrative.
Yeah. And it's yours to change first. We're so concerned about changing the country's narratives, and history is important. All these things that we're talking about is important, but I do not believe that it is possible for us to get to the futures that we deserve and that are ours and have been destined for us if we do not, on an individual level, begin to do what we're supposed to do. And again, our future are these children. So when our babies are dying and we're doing nothing about it, when we're not providing a space for the parents to have some sort of counseling, some sort of care. Mm-hmm. Something happened, we immediately ready to jump down somebody's throat. There's nothing there. We are afraid to have conversations if it is something that you've done wrong. Mm-hmm. You've done something wrong. You must take accountability for it. You must have a conversation. I might get vexed because you did something wrong. But that don't mean we can't come and talk
about it. The thing is, you have to allow for that reaction because it is a human reaction.
It's human.
And you have to expect that sort of release, you know? And that's part of the process. And being part of the healthy part of that process is to understand that is going to be part of it and to not only prepare for it, but to allow it and then let it.
And that's where emotional and mental regulation comes into place, right?
That's right.
That regulation is a real thing. So again, we have breath for a reason. Mm. When we speak, it is our spirit that is coming forth because I'm breathing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means, right? If I'm in a position where you and I are having a conversation now, we've never met each other before. This is the first time we met each other, right? But there's an energy that's flowing. I'm comfortable, you comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. If this was uncomfortable, you would see it on our faces. You would see it in our body language. And somewhere inside of the Tuska, we would have to find compassion.
Yeah, and grace.
Yeah. So the human reaction of, yes, we get angry. I don't think there's anything wrong with anger. Our anger is useful. Audre Lorde tells me that. It is useful because there are things to make us angry as black women, as black people, mm-hmm. as human beings. There are people dying all over the world right now and have been for centuries.
Don't get angry for that, then that denotes a different kind of problem.
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Philbert, I really have to stop you at this point in here. The conversation is so unique and sweet and interesting that it took us to the 11 o'clock hour. Mm. But I thank you so much for coming into the space and bringing these ideas and conversation to Freedom 106.5 FM. We must do it again.
Yes.
A little
can
longer.
I just share that on Sundays in Barataria, people can come take classes with Bar Academy, breathwork, capoeira, movement and mobility, and also stick fighting as well. And Clinical Conversations has an event next Friday, May 3rd at East Yard in Arima. And people can reach out to us on Instagram, Bois Academy, BOISACADEM. Why or call 716-1164.
So those are the numbers. And if you're so interested, you can send a message at 306-1065 and I can forward the message to you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Tuska. It's a pleasure to meet you.
So TNT, that is part of your history, part of your DNA. It's all about being a Trini.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.